And I'm grateful for this opportunity and privilege, and I would ask you to continue to pray for a pastor while he's on deputation ministry. Just kidding. While he's on vacation, singing about some of our missionaries that are out and about. And we would ask you to pray. Peggy and I have been missionaries now for 39 years. We're going on our 40th year. And it's a nonstop ministry to be on deputation, raising support, and then trying to raise support for the ministry, for printing, and then also for helping the ministry to be able to continue on a regular basis. And so we do ask you to continue to pray for us, if you would, at Rock of Ages, and pray for Mrs. Ellis and I, and ask God to meet every single need. And I'm grateful for all the missionary families who are out of our church tonight, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to come and fill in for our pastor, and I love our church. I appreciate every single member. Every time we come, folks have been asking how we're doing and then how the ministry's going and letting us know that you've been praying for us, and for that we are grateful. If you have your Bible tonight, we'll go to the book of Mark, chapter number 1. The book of Mark and chapter number 1, we'll bring the message from this portion and passage of Scripture, and I hope that it'll be of help and a blessing to you. Mark chapter number 1, when you found it, if we'll stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I haven't been the director of the Rock of Ages for 19 years, the Western director for 11 years on the West Coast, and the ministry that we've been involved with over the years. I can say that I deeply appreciate the staff here at the church and all the men filling in and pastors' place as far as making announcements and moderating the services and so forth. And it's always a blessing to a preacher, to a pastor, to have a staff that love the Lord and are able to carry things on in the absence. And I'm grateful for all of the staff that's here at the church and everyone that just picks up and carries on. We love our preacher. I love Pastor Gravely and Miss Noel, or Nolita. Boy, I'm getting it all tongue-tied tonight, aren't I? And so we'd ask you to continue to pray for them while they're on deputation. That's what I said earlier. I stuck my foot in my mouth and changed it up a little bit. So, and then got a pastor and Miss Noel. And then, you know, it's just one of them things. In one of those moods tonight, I kind of feel like Steve Gregory, you say, one of our missionaries, can't speak plain for spluttering tonight. let's get right into our text tonight, if you would, please. Notice, if you would, in the book of Mark, chapter number 1, we'll begin reading verse number 35. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. Let's pray. Our Father, as we bow before you tonight, we are grateful for the opportunity to be here at our home church. I thank you for the singing, for the music, and for the testimonies. Thank you for answered prayer where healing is concerned. Lord, we thank you for our pastor. I'd ask you to be with him, and Miss Nolita's are out trying to get some rest and relaxation. May you continue to help them, revive them, strengthen them. Lord, help them to return with a freshness of the Holy Spirit and, God, a freshness about their soul and give them a freshness and vitality and vigor. I would ask you that you'll continue to bless his ministry, and, Lord, may you continue to give him wisdom as he leads us as a church. I pray you'll bless the faithful that are here tonight and those that are providentially hindered. I would ask you that you'll meet every need tonight, and may you help us as we stand to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. God, may you give us your divine power and your presence, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I want to preach on the subject matter of prayer. Prayer is one of those subject matters that we often hear preached, we often hear it taught, we often hear testimonies about prayer. There's just one problem with prayer, and that is that for the most part, many of God's people do not pray. Many that are sitting under the sound of my voice tonight, both here and possibly live streaming, and those that will be visiting the church's website at a later date, many of us, we know all about prayer. We could give you an exegesis on the subject matter, and we could give you homiletical outlines, and even those that are not called in the gospel ministry could give you great depth on the subject matter of prayer, because it's one of those subject matters that is often referenced by Christians, and especially preachers, missionaries, pastors, and evangelists. The only problem, as I said, is that oftentimes we find ourselves knowing about prayer, but not praying itself.
Tonight, I would like to remind us in the scripture that our greatest privilege as a Christian is to be able to go before the Lord, the throne of grace, and lift our needs and the burdens of others, to bear one another's burdens before the throne of God. One of the greatest privileges given to humanity, especially to God's people, is the privilege to pray. If you stop and think about it, it is the opportunity to approach God himself, the creator of the universe, our great Savior, our Lord and King, the creator of all things, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, our master, our Savior, our Redeemer. And it's our opportunity to go before the very throne of grace and to let our petitions be known before him. It is our direct access to the throne of God. It is how often we neglect to pray and to go before the throne of God that brings, I believe, deep conviction in our hearts and in our lives, and brings the realization that often prayer, as Dr. Lee Robertson, the Chancellor of Tennessee Temple, often said, that all failures are prayer failures. And can I say to you that after being in the ministry now for 46 years, getting ready to go into my 47th year of preaching, 39 years as a missionary, that I can testify and say tonight that all failures in my personal life have, for the most part, been prayer failures. I'm reminded of Dr. Stinnett Blue, one that is very familiar with our church and the preachers that are here tonight, stated of a missionary that had fallen into sin or gotten entrapped in sin on the mission field. And he was making comments to some others about the subject matter. And he said, all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost of God smote me in the heart. And it seemed like the Holy Spirit asked me and said, how much did you pray for them? And he said, the truth of the matter and the reality of the matter was I had not prayed very much for them at all. And he said, I learned not to say anything or to pass judgment when I had not prayed for someone who had fallen. And I'm afraid tonight that we so often forget to pray. We fail to pray for our pastor. We fail to pray for our missionaries. We fail to pray for our Sunday school teachers. We fail to pray for our deacons. And we fail to pray for those that prayer requests has been given in our church services, and those that are our friends, and those that we're to bear one another's burdens with. We are commanded to pray tonight. And the Word of God repeatedly gives the scriptures and passages concerning the subject matter of prayer. And tonight I would like to give you just a few simple thoughts on the subject matter of prayer and hope that we can be of help in the scriptures. Number one, and first off tonight, we are commanded to pray. Jesus himself set the example. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 17 that we are commanded to pray without ceasing. And what it literally means is we are to be in an attitude of our heart, our mind, and our soul is to be absorbed with God and his presence. And we're in our heart to be in tune with God. And we are to keep our mind stayed upon him. We're to be in a continual matter of prayer. Prayer is not an option. Prayer is essential. It is a need, a necessity in every born-again believer's life. Prayer is not a suggestion, it is a command from the Word of God to pray without ceasing. We would consider murder a sin. We would consider lying a sin. We would consider robbery a sin. We would consider adultery a sin. We would consider conniving and strong-arming and extortion a sin. We would consider many sins in our generation, and God knows that they are rampant in the United States of America and literally around the globe. But we casually pass over too often not praying the sin of not carrying burdens and needs and necessities before the throne of God. We're to maintain an attitude of prayer about all things at all times. Jesus set the standard in the matter. Notice with me in the book of Luke, chapter number 6 and verse number 12. Before making a decision, he prayed. You say, but he was the God of heaven, God in the flesh, 100% God, 100% man in his deity, and he didn't need to pray, but yet he did pray. He set the example for you and I to follow after. The Bible says in Luke 6 and verse number 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God, found the necessity to pray, then my friend, how much more should you and I have the necessity and the urgency of the hour to pray? To pray, to pray before God and to go before His holy throne and humility and prayer and lifting our needs and our burdens before the throne of God. May I say to you tonight that He is our pattern. He is our example. He prayed. The Bible tells us in Luke 22, verse 41 through 44, that He prayed even in times of distress. You say the Savior went through times of distress? Oh, yes. He was tempted in all manner of sin like as into you and I, and yet He was without sin. There was no sin found in the Savior. Testified by Pilate's wife. She said, I've suffered a dream this night. Have thou nothing to do with this just man? Pilate stood before Israel and said, I find no fault in this man. If you want him crucified, see you to it. And he took a wash basin and washed his hand before them as a symbolic meaning of cleansing his own hands at the blood of Jesus Christ. But he'll be held accountable before God in heaven. And so we find that Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. The Bible says in Luke 22, 41, and He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. As we find that Jesus, under the stress and the spur and the stain of sin of humanity that was laid upon His shoulders, was getting ready to go to Calvary, and there He would be crucified and nailed to the cross of Calvary. But every sin that you and I would have, every sin of our parents and grandparents, every sin of all humanity upon His shoulders, and there He would go to Calvary and be crucified for you and I. The agony of your sin and my sin, by His stripes we are healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. And so we find that Jesus, in times of distress and the weight of the sin of humanity, not His own sin, for He was without sin, but because of your sin and my sin, He found Himself in prayer and asking God for His will to be done concerning Calvary. Even from the cross He prayed. The Bible says in Luke 23, 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His raiment and cast lots. Jesus not only prayed in life and His earthly ministry, He not only prayed on the way to Calvary just before going to Calvary there and in the time and season of prayer with the disciples, the Mount of Olives, but we find that while He was hanging on the cross of Calvary, that He prayed and asked for the Father to forgive those that were crucifying Him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can I say to you tonight that I believe that God wants us to pray? He set the example for our prayers. If I were to take a survey tonight, and I would not be so vindictive as to do so, but if I were to ask tonight, how many prayed for an hour the entire week? I wonder how many hands could go up. If we're to ask how many's prayed in an hour in the last 2 weeks, I wonder how many hands could go up. If I were to ask how many have prayed an hour in the last month, I wonder how many hands could go up. We say we believe in prayer, and yet we do not pray. Some people's prayer life consists of urgent situations and circumstances, and they only pray during times of crisis in their lives. Mrs. Ellis and I got a phone call, I guess it was 2 days ago, a friend of ours in Alaska we've known for several years, and their son in the state of Ohio was in a dump truck and was getting ready to cross the railroad tracks. It was back in an area where there were no railroad crossings in a rural area. We don't know if he didn't hear the train, see the train, didn't look, his brakes gave out or whatever, but he ran in front of a train, and they sent pictures of his vehicle, and that tractor trailer, or the dump truck he was in, looked like nothing more than a crushed tin can. They gave him less than 1% of 1% to live. He lasted 3 days and went home to be with the Lord this afternoon. 35 years old, if I remember correctly. She just buried her son. I suppose it's been no more than a couple, 3 years. Her other son buried him. Josh, now Andrew. Her husband's at home on hospice and not doing well and probably will not be able to attend the funeral. The tragedies, the urgencies, drives us to our knees and puts an emphasis in our heart on the subject matter of prayer. And it's in these times of crisis that our friends are facing that will drive us to the throne of God with all sincerity and humility and a heaviness of heart. I'm for prayerless. Please don't forgive me tonight. And I've said this often. I'm for prayerless tonight. I'm not against prayerless. And I don't mind if you have a checklist. I really don't. But my friend, prayer is more than just checking off a box in a list of names. To pray is to enter into the very presence of Almighty God. The Bible gives us specific scriptures in the book of Mark in chapter number 1 in our text verse. Notice the Bible said in verse number 35, and in the morning rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place. And the word into is a preposition. What it literally means is that Jesus went into a solitary place. He went behind the veil. He went beyond the cares and the burdens and the circumstances of life that he was faced with. He went into a place where it was just him and God alone. When the Bible speaks of having a prayer closet, I'm not so much convinced it's not speaking of just a specific place where it will be a place of loneliness or oneness with God. But I believe it is talking about being able to go behind the veil, to go into the very presence of Almighty God, to pass from the outer to the inner. And if you've ever been in that place, the solitary place, the closet, the solitary place where God dwells, if you've ever been in that place and you could almost feel like you could reach out and just touch him in his presence, then, my friend, you're missing one of the greatest privileges and blessings that a Christian can have. I have never been late for one of my staff meetings, but I don't mind telling you, there have been a few times that I wanted to be late. I've never been late to the pulpit thus far, but there have been times I wanted to be late. Because I was making preparation and prayer and study, and I was in the very presence of Almighty God, and I dare not wanted to leave his divine presence. 2nd, tonight, the danger of neglecting prayer. When we neglect prayer, we become spiritually weak and anemic. Just as a person who is physically weak and anemic, they don't have strength. Their vitality has been diminished. And when we neglect prayer, we become weak and anemic spiritually. Jesus warned his disciples about neglecting prayer in Matthew 26 and 41. He said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And so Jesus warned the disciples to watch and to pray so that they would not enter into temptation. He's given them a dire warning of the neglect of prayer. That when we do not pray, we become more susceptible to temptations and to spiritual downfall and to the position of backsliding or turning our back on God and failing our ministries, failing our families, and failing those that God has put us to labor with. The danger of neglecting prayer. Prayer strengthens us against the attacks of the enemy. And without prayer, we leave ourselves very vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. I remember, and I shared this, in fact, I've been doing just a brief devotional study and thought on what to do when you're overwhelmed in the scriptures. And I told a story, alluded to it even this morning. Years ago, our son Randy and I went out on a camping trip. We had Peggy had invited an ensemble, a group of college-age girls that were out singing in the churches representing the college, and invited them to come stay with us. Now, our little house only had 750 square feet on one level, on the normal level. Then the basement, we had 750 square feet, but it wasn't completed. And so I don't know what she was thinking when she invited a school, a college ensemble of ladies to come with their chaperones and everyone to sleep in our house. You couldn't even tiptoe through the house. They were everywhere. And so I looked at Randy, and Randy was not into girls at the time, thank God. And I said, Randy, I said, you don't want to stay around here with them girls? He was one of them that you mentioned girls, he'd say, yuck. I said, Randy, you don't want to be around all these girls, do you? Nope, I sure don't, Daddy. I said, would you like to go camping and hunting? He said, absolutely. And so we got out of the house, and long story short, we got out in the mountains, and I wrote a little booklet on, because that day we got lost at Battle Lake Mountain, and God showed me what it means to be lost in the Bible and scriptural from that perspective. And so we had been hiking up and down the mountainside. I thought if I get up on a high ridge and look over the valley, I could find the lake and our vehicle, and I could make a beeline to our vehicle. It was in the June, and we're in the high mountains, about 8,000-9,000 feet or so in altitude, and we're in a blizzard of snowstorm that hit while we were there. And so I had walked around, and finally we turned and went down the mountain, and then we came back up, and I come to the place, we turned around, and I said to Randy, I said, son, if we're going to go around just a little bit, and if we can't find the vehicle, we're going to have to start preparing to spend the night here in the mountains. We'd have probably froze to death. We weren't prepared for that type of weather, and certainly wouldn't prepared to be lost. Not with an arrogant dad that could find his way out of anything and found out he couldn't get his way out of the mountains. And so I began to weep. I said, son, I'm sorry, but I got you lost. You know what our son said? He was only, I don't know how old he was at the time. Peggy, you'll have to help me, 6, 8 years old, somewhere in there. You know what Randy said? He looked at me, and I've been preaching, I don't remember, 20-something years, probably approaching 25 years at the time. He looked at me, he said, Daddy, he said, don't worry about it. Let's just pray, and Jesus will get us out of here. And I thought, you know, that sounds pretty good. I hadn't even thought about prayer. I'm just confessing to you tonight. Well, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Coming from a 6-year-old telling a 20-something year preacher, for try praying, God may hear and answer the prayer. And so we bowed on our knees, we prayed, went around the next bend, and there it was, all below us, the lake to the left, the Bronco right straight in front of us. We made a beeline, got out of the mountains, and made it home alive, thank God. And thank God by the time we got home, the girls were gone. Randy was especially excited about that. But all I'm simply saying is that oftentimes we forget about prayer. It's a basic necessity of our Christian life, and yet we, in its simplicity, we forget the urgency of the hour. And we are challenged and we are reminded of Christ, or by Christ, the dangers of neglecting prayer. Many Christians struggle with sin. Struggle with discouragement, struggle with constant, nonstop spiritual droughts in their life. And I'm not saying it's in every case, but in too many cases, and more often than not probably, it's all just simply narrowed down to one thing, neglect of prayer. Jesus reminds us in James 4:2, ye have not because you ask not. Somebody says, boy, I wish the Lord would do something like that for me. Have you asked him? Well, I've never had God answer and supply the financial needs like he did for that one. Have you ever asked him and then trusted him? God desires to bless us, to guide us, to sustain us, but we have to seek him. We have to ask. We have not because we've asked not. And then power that we neglect if we do not pray. There's power in prayer. And I know it sounds like a cliche. We've heard it most of our lives, anyone that's been saved any length of time. But the scripture is filled with examples of the power that we have through prayer. Elijah's a prime example. He prayed and the heavens withheld their rain for 3.5 years. The Bible says in James 5:17, Elias, a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of the 3 years and 6 months, according to the scriptures. Did you catch that in the scripture? That was a man that was subject to like passions like you and I. In other words, he had the same struggles in his life, challenges of his heart, and yet he learned to pray and to bear his need and his heart and his burden before the throne of God. We look at men of God in the Bible and the women of God that's mentioned in the scriptures as if they were some superheroes that had no faltering, no stumbling, and they had no struggles with sin and no struggles with temptation. And yet when you read their lives, they were men of like passion of you and I. But they had a discipline to go before God regardless of their circumstances. The early church prayed. And the prison doors were open for Peter. I'm not going to read it in its entirety, but you'll find it in Acts chapter 12, verse 5 through 11. And we find that God not only in the scripture answers individual prayers like he did Elijah and others, but God answers collective prayer with the church. It's right when we say as a church to pray for so-and-so and such. Prayer really can move mountains. Prayer really can change lives. Prayer really can bring about revival. And prayer really can bring about wayward children and grandchildren and spouses. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much in James 5:16. God's still the same today. He hears and answers prayer. But I ask you today, are we seeking him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind? It's not just the mighty prayers that God answered in the scripture. Let me give you a testimony of Rock of Ages and a group of elderly ladies that were associated with our ministry for several decades. There's a group of ladies out of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Ottawa, Tennessee. And they wanted to do something for missions, and so they contacted our founder at the time, Dr. Ed Blue, and said, Brother Blue, we've been praying, and we as a group of ladies in our church would like to do something to help reach the prisoners through Rock of Ages. And they asked Brother Blue what types of projects or what types of things they could get involved with to help. And so Brother Blue said, well, one thing that the state does not issue, they issue socks, they issue undergarments, they issue clothing and shoes and so forth. But one thing they don't issue is handkerchiefs. And we could use handkerchiefs. And so the ladies began to pray, and they, of course, had their little home sewing machines. And so they began to sew, buy material and sew handkerchiefs. And then they bought a stamp that would, a little rubber stamp, and put in the ink. And after they got it folded and pressed, they would stamp on the front of it, Jesus loves you. And then on the inside, they'd stuff it full of gospel tracts. And we passed out, if I remember correctly, it was right at 1.5 million of those, with this handful of elderly ladies. They eventually all passed away, and the ministry was dropped. We couldn't find any of the younger ladies that wanted to pick it up, and some of the prisons were beginning to cut back on us taking them in because the gangs were using them for headdresses and putting their gang colors on them and so forth. And I remember the story. In fact, I was reminded of it 2 days ago going through some files in my office. They'd gotten professional sewing machines, commercial sewing machines now, and sergers, and they were going to South Alabama to buy materials in bulk, and they drove all the way to Alabama, South Alabama, to get their material, and on the way, the windows of heaven opened up, and it began a torrential downpour. In fact, there were severe thunderstorms on that day. They determined they were going to go on to South Alabama, load up the material. They put it in the back of their truck. They didn't have a tonneau cover or a camper cover or a shell or anything on the back of it. It was just open bed truck. They loaded it up with that material. You just have to know Arlie and some of these ladies are very godly ladies that precious, they love the Lord and just have great faith in God's divine ability and intervention. And the gentleman at the factory told them they were donating all the material to them. He said, now you don't want to put this in the back of that truck, look at it, it'll be ruined by the time you get all the way back to Tennessee. And they said, oh no, this is God's material and it's going to reach souls for Christ. And so they bowed their head and they prayed, and Arlie and them, they prayed. They said, now God, this is your material. These are souls that are going to be saved as a result of the gospel tracts in them. And lives are going to be changed. Families are going to be put back together. Now God, we're asking you that you not allow your material to be ruined and wet by the rain. And God, we ask you to somehow protect this material. When they walked outside, there was over them, the clouds parted and opened. They pulled the truck up, they loaded the material, they pulled out, and according to Arlie and those ladies, and I believe every word of it, they pulled out of that, that warehouse, they got down, turned on to 59, came all the way up to Chattanooga, outside of Chattanooga, hit a 24, came to the 24-75 split, and went on North 75 up toward Ootowah, Tennessee. Got off the exit at Ootowah, pulled around into their property, backed up to the place where they did all their sewing, where all their commercial sergers and stuff was, then loaded the material, and it never rained a drop. That cloud that opened up for them, that opening, followed them all the way up 59, all the way up 24, all the way up 75, all the way off 75 in Ootowah till she backed in and they unloaded their material, and all of a sudden the clouds closed and the storms came and the rain poured. And somebody says, I don't believe that. You know why? Because you've never asked God to do anything for you like that on that level. You've never proven him. You've never given him an opportunity. And last but not least, a call to renewed prayer. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We're scheduled for just about everything you can imagine except prayer. I'm in the Rock of Ages Ministries because of the call of God. But the way I found the will of God to serve with the Rock of Ages Ministries was meeting each morning around 5:30, most around 5 o'clock, to pray with a friend of ours who lived on the church property at the time. And we would meet each morning and pray until Benny had to go to work. And typically he'd leave by 6:15, 6:30. And every morning for months we would gather each morning and we would pray together before we started our day. I'd fasted and prayed and I was begging God to show me what he had for me. And then during that season of our lives and our time in prayer, Dr. Ed Blue, the founder of Rock of Ages Ministries, was doing a tent revival over off the Chatsworth Highway around the Brendel Brothers property. I went to that tent meeting that night. Mrs. Ella stayed home with our two children, Victoria and Randy. They were sick that night and she was not able to go. And I've been fasting and praying and begging God to show me what he had for me in the ministry. I went that night and got him pressed on my heart and showed me very positively, precisely, that he wanted me to be a missionary of the Rock of Ages Ministries. There was no question in my mind, in my heart. I went home and I told Mrs. Ellis, and I was getting ready to knock on the door, and I thought, now how am I going to tell her? We're getting ready to go into full-time ministry, but it's not going to be pastoring, it's not going to be evangelism, we're going into the prisons. And that's kind of fitting that God would call me to do prison work with my lifestyle before I got saved. And I knocked on the door and she came to the door and opened it and tears were streaming down her face. And she said, you don't have to say a word. While you was at that tent meeting tonight, God showed me we're going to be missionaries with the Rock of Ages. We never even discussed Rock of Ages as a possibility. I believe, if I could say this tonight, in all due respect, if I can get them to come to the piano and get ready for the invitation tonight, if I can say this in all due respect, I believe that many of us are facing challenges and obstacles in our families, ministries, jobs, and in our homes behind closed doors, simply because we have neglected the greatest of God's command to pray without ceasing. Our fathers, we bow before you tonight.